I would like to welcome everybody to the meeting. Hopefully you can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. Proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that the microphones work as a queuing system. If your microphone is lit red, you do have precedence. Flashing green is next in the queue, and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again when it is lit up red, as you will lose your place in the queue. There are some members in attendance virtually, and it has been agreed that all members in the chamber are brought in to speak on an issue before any remote delegates. Therefore, if you are attending remotely, please use the chat facility to indicate you wish to speak, and I will bring members in once the chamber has spoken. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments that they make at the meeting. Okay, so do you have any apologies, sir?
Yeah, we have apologies from Councillors Gobreath, Cahill King, Mathers, and Rowan.
Okay, thank you. Any declarations of interest? No? Okay. So I'd like to bring into the meeting now Cindy, Rona, Hugh from DFI. I'm just going to go through a short presentation, if that's correct, yeah?
Yeah. Okay.
And we'll just take it from there.
Okay. Thank you.
Pleased to be back here in Newry, Mourne and Down Council. I'm particularly pleased to see a few familiar faces tonight. Some of you might be aware, I spent almost 10 years in Newry as section engineer, and so there is a slight sense of familiarity about tonight's proceedings. For those of you who haven't had the pleasure of meeting yet, my name is Cindy Noble, and I am the Divisional Roads Manager in Southern Division. Also with me tonight are Brona Gillespie, who is a section engineer in Newry, and Hugh Morgan, section engineer in our Down office. I hope that you've all received a copy of the annual report, which details the works completed across the district last year and sets out our initial proposals for this year. Infrastructure plays an important part to everyday lives, contributing to addressing regional imbalance and delivering positive change for all as we invest for future generations. The road network is our largest and most valuable strategic infrastructure asset and delivers for people every day. It is, however, recognised that there is more to do to improve and protect the network, and we are maximising our resources to deliver positive engineering impacts for our roads. This year's budget allocation is again very challenging. Whilst there's a welcome increase of £77.6 million for the opening 24-25 resource budget, it does not fully meet requirements of the department, and therefore decisions on prioritising the budget have been made. This means the continuing use of a limited service policy for essential road maintenance activities such as defect repair, grass cutting and gully emptying. The opening capital budget for structural maintenance is £68 million, which falls significantly short of our funding requirements. So we focus on safety-related high-priority resurfacing, roadside stability and drainage projects. This year, we completed carriageway resurfacing on Market Street in Downpatrick and resurfacing on Newcastle Street, Newcastle Road, Kilkeel, and also on the Refryland Road, Newry. Additional resurfacing schemes are planned across the district, including the Cullerville Road cross Maglen and recently completed Balnahinch Road in Spa. We also have some capital budget for local transport safety measures. This allows us to deliver a programme of local improvements, including collision remedial measures, traffic calming and pedestrian crossings. However, our capacity to deliver these programmes is less than what we would like, so we do need to prioritise those schemes that are most in need. We are taking forward the upgrade of traffic light signals at the Francis Street, Dominic Street junction in Newry, and also a traffic signal junction upgrade incorporating puffing facilities at the Belfast Road and Main Street, Todd's Hill in Saintfield. Road safety is a high priority for the department, and we are committed to working proactively to make our roads safer for everyone. The introduction of part-time 20-mile-an-hour zones at schools is a significant intervention that has helped to ensure that children, parents and staff feel safer as they travel to and from school on a daily basis. In June, the Minister confirmed that an additional 40 schools will benefit from this key road safety measure. Within the report, you will note that 5 schools within the council area have been prioritised this year. Development work on the Newry Southern Relief Road is continuing. The publication of the draft statutory orders and environmental impact assessment in January 2025 opened the formal public consultation period. This closed in March 2025. The project team are currently considering the consultation responses received. You will also be aware that earlier this year, in March 2025, Minister Kimmins announced the inclusion of the A24 Ballinlehinch bypass in the prioritisation of road schemes. The project will move forward to development of the basic case and procurement, which will need updated to the current standards. The division also continues to work closely with Louth County Council on the connection of the Narrow Water Bridge to the Warren Point Road. Work started on the project in May 2024 and is currently on schedule to be completed in 2027. The department continues to develop our Transport Strategy 2035, the public consultation for which closed earlier this month. The strategy will inform the planning and delivery of transport infrastructure across Northern Ireland up to 2035 and aims to align transport infrastructure with the requirements of transport of climate change delivered net zero by 2050. The decarbonisation of transport is likely to be the single largest strategic driver of our work over the next decade, which the strategy will aim to support. The department recognises the importance of investing in pedestrian and cycling infrastructure, and the public consultation of on the active travel delivery plan closed at the end of February 2025, and we expect to publish the plan later this year. The plan will provide a firm basis for the delivery of walking, wheeling and cycling infrastructure in our villages, towns and cities over the next 10 years and beyond. In the meantime, we are continuing to deliver improved active travel projects and have recently completed pedestrian measures at McKnight's Hill, Bessbrook, and also plan to complete pedestrian measures at Muir Road, Kilkeel and Dromore Road, Ballinahinch, as well as the continuation of the shared cycle path on the A2 from Clog to Dundrum. Winter is coming and we are now gearing up for gritting, which starts in October and extends to April. In this council area, we have a fleet of 12 gritters to salt 833 kilometres of road. Finally, we are keen to engage with elected representatives. However, we are facing significant staffing pressures and we are having to focus our attention on public safety issues in the first instance. Public safety is our priority. I have included within the report contact details at the back of the report for each of our teams. To maximise our effectiveness, I would encourage councillors and the public to report road defects using our online systems. That is a direct link into our system rather than emailing us directly. Thank you, and that concludes my presentation this evening. I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you very much, Cindy. Thank you very much, Cindy. So I'm going to invite questions from our elected reps. What I would like to remind you is to keep your questions strategic in nature. We have had an opportunity through our DFI clinics to address any local issues that may have arisen. So if we can take questions in and make them strategic into the wider projects. Thank you. Mr. Rice.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks for the department for facilitating tonight's meeting. I suppose the questions I would have firstly would be regarding the maintenance of road gullies and outlets along road verges, particularly in the Moorings area. Many gullies are completely blocked and overgrown with grass and soil. I did raise this 2 years ago, around the time of the bad flooding we had in the district, about better maintenance of some road gullies, which could have prevented flooding issues. But around that time, it was our understanding that there were some areas hadn't been cleaned in the space of 3 years. I know there's still road gullies that we're reporting that haven't been cleaned, which is nearly on 5 years now. It's just, I know it's a maintenance issue, but it's sort of a strategic issue across the Moorings when you've got road gullies that are completely full of grass and soil. and that obviously exacerbates any flooding issues. Then sort of the second issue I'd have would be regarding requests for speed and road safety assessments. Whenever we raise particular areas of concern or individual roads, it's because someone has maybe contacted us after a bad accident. But it is very frustrating to be told that the areas simply just don't meet the criteria for further road safety measures. I know we as reps would appreciate more information maybe as to why certain roads don't meet the standard for upgrade the safety works, and a bit more feedback so we can then go back to our constituents. I know areas like Clone I've raised on a few times now and been told it doesn't meet criteria for improvements, but yet there's been multiple car accidents in this last number of weeks, and not getting into specific details of areas, but it's just an example that comes off the top of my head. And finally, I know we're not to go into specific areas, but the Kilkeel Road going into Hilltown, it's 3 years now in October, it'll be closed with temporary lights. The last year's meeting, we were told that we would be getting it up and running. The department said that they were, I think the quote they used was, they were all about getting roads reopened, which I understand is it's maybe not as straightforward as that, but if we get a bit of an update as to where we're at with that. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Rees.
Maintenance of road gullies is important, particularly drainage is very important. Good drainage will add extra life into your road structure. Last year, I understand that we did a full gully clean. If there are particular areas that you have, if you want to report those through the online reporting system, and we are fortunate that we're giving a wee bit more targeted resource allocation this year to some of those areas so that we can do not only just the empty the gullies, but make sure prove our drainage lines and our outlets as well. So hopefully give some assistance to that. Speed and road assessments, I appreciate the issue. Sometimes, you know, road safety is important, but it is a case of having to prioritise. We'd use a number of our policies in relation to road safety assessments. Speed assessments is one, traffic calming assessments, collision remedial. There are various policies which are all publicised on our website, and we normally would provide a link to those to give you a wee bit more information. The main criteria would be the accident statistics, which is from the PSNI personal injury accidents, and that's what we use a lot of our data from, traffic volumes as well, things like that there. So certainly if you want particular feedback, our network development team on particular locations will point you to those sorts of feedback again. The Kilkeel Road Hilltown then, I am aware of that scheme, and I can confirm that we have agreed a solution for that. It is a complex geotechnical problem because of the size of the slip that we have there, but we are fairly confident that we can hopefully get a solution within the current financial year, and that will depend on land negotiations and things like that, but we are continuing to work and see hopefully get a solution, as I said, within this current financial year.
Sorry, thanks, Chair. No, just whenever you mentioned about the accident reports, like I know that, again, I'm not going into specific areas, but the SSFL get through the mountains. Every other weekend, there's maybe a car sitting in there. Is the police reports, because there's a lot of accidents happening that there is no police report for, you know. Is there other, maybe it's something to look at, maybe more strategic beyond just, I know myself living in the country, there's a lot of stuff that doesn't be reported. And then, you know, when we're turning around saying, There's no history of accidents here, and people are sort of saying, well, you know, there he has been, you know.
Unfortunately, accident statistics, that's the ones that we do have to go on. And I appreciate that sometimes there are known hotspots that there are damage only accidents that aren't getting recorded. However, you know, those do sometimes come into the aware, and we do look at those. But unfortunately, in terms of prioritisation, the PSNI statistics are the ones that we use to do our cluster analysis and our engineering reviews of actual schemes.
Thank you very much, Sunday. Councillor Andrews?
No, just more or less, I'll leave the door to come back on for comment, but I just, as usually every year, I thank the local staff and down Saxon office, Hugh, Hugh Morgan and his team, also Trevor and Traffic and Control, and also Street Lighting. They do a brilliant job. And as I say, any queries or any issues, then I don't submit it to this because I'm like a constant, it's a evolving process with me. No matter what happens, it's sent in. But thanks for the quick response or whatever. But last year, what really surprised me was the withdrawal of Doran's Rock, the A7 Doran's Rock. It's been on the list for many years, and it was took off there last year from the list. And I know a lot of the Rhiwallon councillors and others over the years lobbied for the Ballinahinch bypass, which through the minister actually initiating the next stage of the process to make it happen. It's very much appreciated. But again, I appreciate all of what you do, but I think myself at Doran's Rock, it should have been kept on the list of schemes, you know, in addition to the bypass. But when it was took off, I was disappointed. But it's working needs done. But apart from that, there, I know the budgets are very tight, but hopefully we can stretch the pounds further in the area and get more for our area. But thanks so much for all that you do.
Thank you very much, Terry, and appreciate your words and support of our staff. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Cindy and staff, for all your efforts. I know anytime I'm having to deal with anybody, they're very prompt in getting back to me and don't always get the answer I want, but I get an answer anyway, which is welcomed. I just wanted to touch on a couple of issues that have been brought up via the report. First of all, I really welcome that Ebert Street pedestrian crossing is on the list, but just wanted to get an idea of a time frame of when that will actually be implemented. I do believe that it will relieve a lot of the pressures at the lower end of Ebert Street in terms of traffic, because obviously people will be able to walk safer across that busy junction. And then going down into Ebert Street, I know the guys are working very hard in the background to try and bring some sort of solutions in regard to the traffic issues, but I would ask that that's expedited. I was contacted no later than today around issues that happened on Friday where an ambulance couldn't get through, a bus had to go up onto the pavement, which is not ideal when you have very, very young children there trying to access the school. Touching on the 40-mile or the 20-mile-per-hour schools, I know there's five prioritised for Newry Moore and Down District. Is there any kind of time frame of when they're going to actually be implemented? And then just lastly, the adoptions. So I know there's been legislation updated in regards to the adoptions of streets. Is that going to be retrospective? Because I know that there's a lot that I get contacted about where people have lived in the states and developments for many, many years and they're still not adopted. So it's just to get an idea of will it go back to or is it just for new developments moving forward? So thank you.
Thanks very much. I'll just answer some of those, Councillor Hanlon. Edward Street, the crossing, I'm familiar with that, and you will know that we've completed already some of the accommodation works associated with that. We spoke to our contractor, and he's been instructed to complete those works, and we're just waiting for a resource to come available, but it will be within this financial year. We were hoping that maybe we could get it done during the Halloween break, but it's probably going to be towards the end of this year, a calendar year, or maybe into the start of the beginning of 2026, but it will be done this financial year. Edward Street School, as you said, the guys in network development are working very hard on a number of options, and we've just completed that report from Amy, and within that there are a number of options that are considered for Edward Street, and we'll take into the consideration the school, obviously in particular, and the narrowness of the two-way there. So we're considering that, and I think they've given a commitment that they will go back then and present that and the options when we have gone through all of those in the report. 20 mile an hour, the five schools, you'll appreciate there's legislation associated with implementing those 20 mile an hour. So we're currently working on that, and again, that will be within the current financial year. There's a commitment and the budget is available to do that. There's a bit of coordination needed between various contractors, lines, signs, and then obviously the legislation, but we're hopeful that will all be coordinated and implemented within the current financial year, so by the end of March this year. Adoptions, yes, we welcome the Minister's announcement on an update in our policy in regards to adoption and enforcement. Whilst the new procedures will kick in for all new developments, we are constantly looking at the backlog of developments, and I'm aware if there's a number within the district, and we will be reviewing those to see if we can take those forward. Again, a lot of it is dependent on, you know, historic issues with regards to the amount of bonding and did they happen before, you know, water service, and was it a joint bond or was it a separate bond? So, but we're constantly reviewing them, and if there's any particular ones that you want to get an update, there's contacts for Kieran Conlon and the Private Streets end of the house in within the report, and they'll be happy to give you an update on some of those.
Mr. Reddy.
Thanks, Chairman. Well, Cindy, you're very welcome. I remember the old days whenever Monday's a night, I'd be lying in bed thinking, how wonderful Cindy Noble is. Laurie Quinn, and we used to be able. I would ring Cindy Noble, and you would get a reply. Hello, Henry. How can I help you today? Just the difference in the way it used to be, and now. And I'm thinking of Laurie Quinn. He was our local road engineer. Likes that thing on the Hilltown Road. Hey, many landslides or whatever you want to call it, subsidence. Where Laurie would come in, I would say to Laurie, there's a sentence there, and he would come in and he would get the area dug out, build it up a block and put a wee fence along it. That was the job done. Has the legislation changed so much, Cindy, since those days? Whenever things just seem so simple and we could get work done, we get things done, and even you could get wee minor work schemes on the shelf, that if you got a bit of additional funding then bang, just go and get it done. All that seems to be gone now, and this dreadful situation we're in now, I'm really disappointed, Cindy, that the road at Glasdrummond between Kilkeel and Annalong, or Ballymartin now, the road's good from Kilkeel to Ballymartin. It's very, very good. That was unplanned work too. It was just pressure locally. Thankfully, you just listened to us. But the road from Ballymartin right down to Glasdrummond and on to Newcastle, those few pinch points on the road, you know, there's no resurfacing on that section of road listed here at all. And some of the roads that you have listed for resurfacing, you know, I'd be on them quite regularly, and I would say they're a lot better than the road at Glasdrummond. But I'm just flagging it up to you. We desperately need something done in that section of road. What Councillor Rice said about the gullies, five gullies that we reported, and they were emptied, but they weren't jetted. And now whenever it rains, they just fill up with water. And you know, that's very disappointing. Whenever we actually had people went out and done the work, but was there no inspection done, Cindy, to make sure that the work had been done well? I could go on all day. I've got a list into you, as I'm sure you're seeing it. But certainly that section of road at Glasdrummond, that is particularly bad. Really, you know, it's, we call it Broken Spring Corner, the lorry men do, because the humps and bumps are so bad on it. But I just wish, Cindy, we could turn back to the old days and get back to common sense and getting work done. But certainly we just have to live with the system we have now, and hopefully we can get more work done in the incoming year. But thanks for what you've done. I know you used to.
Thanks very much, Councillor O'Reilly. And yes, I do remember fondly those days in your section offices, and Laurie and the staff there with great fondness. And yes, it was a different environment. There obviously was a lot more resource and an awful lot more money in those days. But what I would say is that, yes, that slip on the Kilkeel Road has particular complexities due to the geotechnical nature and the height of the slip. So we do have to work within the current design standards. And that means looking at things like vehicle restraint and looking at the structural elements that needed there. So it's just a wee bit more complicated than some of the stuff that we would have done with the old stone boulders or olives that we would have used in the past. That's down to the level of the retainment and containment that's needed there. But as I say, to Councillor Rice, we are working on a solution for there. Glasdrummond, I know that Brona does have a very long list of things that she would like to be resurfaced, but you know, unfortunately, We have to prioritise given the level of funding available to us, but we do prioritise, and we prioritise based on need. And there's a number of things that we take in consideration, including the level of defects, the road classification, and the volume of traffic on those roads. But you know, we're trying to develop programmes and develop schemes, as you say, so that we can have them on the shelf, so that if funding becomes available, we can take those opportunities. Like as you said, we did earlier this year with that planned work in Kilkeel. We were able to take the benefit of additional funding when it came along. Brona and the team within the consultancy worked very hard, and it was a complicated scheme because I know because I was engineer for the works at the time, and it took a lot of coordination, but they delivered that scheme.
One of the other things there, just another example, if you had an area where there was persistent flooding along the road, Laurie could have went to the local landowner and said, I'll give you the pipes. If you use your JCB to open that up and pipe that for us, they would have given the pipe. And that was a big incentive to get work done quickly and cheaply. Like, is that opportunity still there?
We do have to work in relation to, you know, the drainage of the road, where it naturally drains. And if there's an opportunity to get an additional outlet or a discharge point, certainly we'll work with landowners and do that through the normal regulatory channels. So, you know, if that means that there may be some benefit to him, that there may be an opportunity to do some, but that would normally be done through our, you know, we have to go through the proper agreements, get the way leaves. There was a scheme earlier on this year where we had to get an extra discharge point on the Strangford Road, and we had to get a consent to work that. But we do work with that, and even some of the, you know, the simple, straightforward resurfacing schemes involve getting some consent and working with landowners where we can to do that. And, you know, we're very grateful to in those circumstances where the landowners do. But as I say, we have to make sure that we go through the right channels and make sure that it is appropriate to take the drainage to those points. And particularly in this area, you know, we do have to work within the statutory consents and the designations of the area as well. So those can sometimes be extra complications to drainage, you know.
Okay. Thank you. Councillor Jackson.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, just want to thank you very much for the presentation tonight. Can I just say, with our local down section office, I just have to say thank you to all the service from Hugh, Morgan, and the team there, Kieran Murray, and also Trevor on the traffic. The communication is excellent. Every time you're trying to get issues resolved, the feedback is definitely 100%. So just want to thank the team over there for the brilliant work that they're doing. And I'm also looking forward to obviously the installation of the Puffin Crossing outside the Ballinhedge Primary School that's forthcoming, and the traffic calm measures there as well. And look, just thankful again for the progress that's been made on the Ballinhedge Bypass, and just would encourage that progress to continue and keep prioritising that, which is a massive need for the people of that area. So thanks again for tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Jackson. Councillor McAteer.
Thank you, Chair. And first of all, congratulate Cindy, our old friend from many. I'm still of the vintage of Henry, etc. Don't know about the dreams, but I think Cindy had more nightmares of the old meetings in the town hall in Uri, when I produced lists of every great blade of grass that needed to be cut and got to leave. But anyhow, it's good to see you at the top table, Cindy, and your staff as well. I must say, there's some, in fairness, some great work done on Crotleaf over this past 12 months over there, resurfaced some bad areas that certainly I, local representative, was getting a lot of grief for and representation on. Some good work there done. So obviously more to do. And I understand perfectly all the budgets, etc. But all you can do is your best at the end of the day. But anyhow, and communication is a good thing. Some of you staff now in Uri, office, so just maybe I just haven't got them at full tilt yet, but we hope that's going to come on board soon. A couple of wee things just I did note. I was talking to Val before about it was, it's not really getting into specifics, but it was agreed work. For example, on the Green Road, you're like, there was signs put in about 12 months ago where it was a bad corner. There was a guy who had cows crossed, and the solution was, so somebody landed with a post, you know, better sitting there maybe 12 to 18 months. Has never been filled out on. And I see Milltown Crossroads is planned. Can I ask when roughly would we expect that to be done before there's any more accidents?
Additional signage?
Declan? Yeah, well, I said directional signage is up there. Yeah. Must be something quite major-ish
There was a bit of a delay because we finished one contract for signing and now we've just awarded a new contract for signing. So those signs are starting to be delivered now. So we're hopeful that anything that was on the backlog will be done within the next couple of months.
Right. So that was major. I think that was major-ish work there.
Yeah.
In response to a lot of that. Probably then, again, just a minute to say, Dak, I don't see much there on active travel proposals coming from centrally. You know, one route we got in was the Milltown Street Burn, which links really up point as such. And we'd like to see that brought forward because that was really on the back of, well, a lot of locals using it just for recreational purposes, but also through the school, which I'm the Board of Governors of, to help people to actually be able to cycle and walk to school. It's extremely busy road with a lot of feed off from the different housing areas adjacent to that. So I would like to see, maybe just flagging it up now, yeah, the active travel to, if we can ask people that to be brought forward. Some of the active travel proposals are been looked at and activated, for example, joined up with the Greenway, linking the Unar Water Bridge with Omeath and Carnport. And that's proposed, so I'd like to see the same enthusiasm for some of the more local ones as well, or even more local as such. The other one I have to bring up, really, I see the minister did, I think she wasn't in 1 week, she had announced that there was the scheme at Derrylaga Bridge was too big to do. But I mean, I'm still getting a lot of feedback there from local residents, especially people who are turning right coming from Ayr Bridge. There's absolutely nothing there called for their safety. Coming from Uri, turn right, there is, but in light of what the minister said, something needs to be done and should be done. Right turn traffic coming from Ayr Bridge towards Uri and up into that area. Quite a high population. So another quick question I had, have you any budgets strategically more? Have you any budgets for small stretches of either asphalt or bitumen? In other words, very badly eroded roads pocketed with potholes. Is there a budget, much of a budget to do that type of work? Because I know I have a lot to be done in it, that particular section. So, question there. Same vein as 3-year traffic lights. The traffic lights, there's a set of traffic lights from the Newry Road, Roof Island. They're 68 ones.
Mr. McIntyre has said at the start of the session, try and keep these, whether strategic, you're talking smaller issues, which you could have addressed at your...
I actually missed it. I wasn't able to...
Yeah, well, that's... You can still follow up on it, but just keep this to what we originally intended to. Thank you.
I comply.
Just, Declan, maybe just to keep it on the strategic, the active travel schemes, certainly, as I presented in the report, we await the active travel delivery plan. There was a number of routes within that, within this council area that are included in that. And once it's published, that'll set the higher level schemes. But then there'll be local active travel delivery programmes as well. And that's where we see we're continuing to work with council on some of these connections. And then also at the local delivery level, some of these routes to schools or active health type routes where there's good maybe missing links or connectivity issues. So we're happy to look at that, but again, they'll be on a scheme prioritisation basis, but where there's merit, we'll try maybe to get budget from a number of fields to try and develop some of these programmes as well. And certainly, the Derrylaga Bridge, I'm aware of, there has been additional signs and lines, and it has been looked at in the past, but if you want, we can give you a reply on that as well. Okay.
Thank you, Cindy, and again, I want to reiterate, folks, we keep it to the wider strategic questions. You've had your opportunity to address any smaller local issues in your DFI clinics. So, Councillor Brennan.
Thank you, Chair. Cindy Brownhill, thank you very much for the presentation. Very informative, and that coupled with the road clinics that we have recently have been vital to us, because as I'm sure as many councillors will agree with me, the state of our roads is like a constant concern for residents, like emails, calls on a virtually a daily basis. So thank you for that two little specifics. I know active travel route. There's an active travel route between Brennan's shop and Loughan Island Village, where there is no pathway for the children whatsoever. The children from Assumption, St. Coleman's, whatever, get dropped.
I said Brennan, this is...
Yes.
But we're keeping us the weather.
I apologise, Chair, but every other councillor has noted specifics. I think it's only fair that
I'll
should as well.
One question, Councillor Brennan.
Just two, sorry.
Councillor Brennan.
It's just unfortunate that other councillors reamed off.
Councillor Brennan, I set the standard at the start of the meeting.
I understand that and I respect your position, Chair. Thank you very much. So I'll stick to the one priority, if that's okay. And that's the desperate need for a footpath from Brennan's to Loughan Island Village. Children get off the bus at Brennan's and walk. And if you can imagine in the dark, Cindy, all these young lads are all dressed in black now. That's the fashion, I'm afraid. The street lighting was improved, but the speed of the cars going down there, it's only a matter of time in my... And I appreciate, Chair, and I won't be bringing up the other instances. With respect. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Brennan.
We'd be happy to look at that and give you a reply in relation to that, Mr. Lincoln.
Mr. Lee Surgener.
Just a comment.
Just basically saying I echo the comments from Councillor Jackson and Councillor Andrews. It is hard work for you guys, and the amount of emails and phone calls you get from us, I don't envy you guys at all. I want to thank you so much for the dedication, the hard work that your team do every day. Also, welcome the progress on the Ballinhinch bypass, as well as the upcoming crossing at the Ballinhinch Primary School as well. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Councillor.
Councillor Bosey.
Thank you. Just want to thank DFI as well, just for all the work that they do. And I know it's a huge remit covering a huge area and so much gets done, and that isn't going to be outlined tonight. Main issue I want to raise is dangerous sight lines at country road junctions. There are about half a dozen junctions in my own DAA that are lethal, and how they are allowed to even exist, let alone to be not improved, is unbelievable. There are junctions that you physically can't see oncoming traffic, and if you want to exit, you have no other choice than to take a chance. And when you ask for these junctions to be improved, I usually get the usual response that safety record for the junction is good. I think it's totally unacceptable that we have to basically wait for someone to die before unsafe splays are fixed. Surely DFI have engineers who are qualified to survey a junction and can determine whether it is safe, regardless of whether someone has been injured or worse on it. If you literally can't see more than 3 metres up the road on a coming on to a national speed limit, how can that be permissible in 2025? So I would ask that policy is urgently reviewed, that it's not just based, I think Councillor Rice mentioned, that it's not just based on how many fatalities, how many injuries, how many car crashes, that you just survey it. This is clearly dangerous. And likewise, what others have said, the length of time it takes to fix a lot of defects in the roads, hedges, damaged apparatus, drains, is quite poor. Often takes quite a long time for sometimes quite straightforward things to be fixed. And the tracking system isn't kept updated a lot of the time. And yeah, I would just concur with Councillor Andrews in terms of Doran's Rock. Really what we need there is a footpath, because you have 2 miles of footpath, that if you had 2 miles of footpath, you would have a connection between Belfast and Downpatrick. So that's something I would like to see. Thanks.
Councillor Bosey.
Councillor Bosey, just to answer in relation to dangerous junctions. We do have design standards, and yes, we have very competent engineers within the department, and the design standards are the same for all roads. And the unfortunate is that not all roads have been built, they're legacy, so they don't have the standards onto them. And whilst if we were to go out and survey them, we could tell you straight away if they meet the design standards for that classification of roads. Thanks, Henry. But unfortunately, as you point out, you know, we do have to prioritise, and one of the ways that we do prioritise is consider the factors, and one of the factors that we do consider is accident statistics. But I'd be happy to consider any junctions and give you an update on any junctions if you want to submit them through the system.
Thank you. Councillor Finn.
Yeah, just to echo the comments of everybody else within the chamber, because I think the DFI road team probably have one of the more difficult jobs at the minute, just given the state of the roads and the budgets that we're working with. So thank you very much for everything that you do. I just have three very brief questions. One, in relation to road resurfacing, and I'll not mention any specifics, but I previously contacted the department about a couple of schemes within URI, one of which had been confirmed back in 2022. Then I was advised that it would be in the annual council report. Can I take it that if that scheme is not mentioned within the report that we have, that isn't going to be happening? And are there schemes that if the works were confirmed on them, can they then retroactively be kind of taken off and deprioritised? Then in relation to the 20 mile an hour speed limits just for schools, if there's any flexibility around those, and I'm not going to mention specifics, but say, for instance, if there has been an incident at a primary school, is there then any way that the department can look at speed measures? And then just in relation to the Southern Relief Road, I know we've all seen the kind of difficulties that the F5 has come into in relation to climate change legislation. So just for an update on that, and thank you very much to the chair for his indulgence.
I think I really indulged Councillor Finn. I think he talked over me.
Councillor Finn, just in relation to road resurfacing, if it isn't within the current report, the report details our programmes with the budget that we have been allocated currently. We do have, and both you and Brona do have, a list of schemes that they would like to do some resurfacing on. Very much dependent and prioritised based on the budget, and we currently are continuing to prioritise, and things can change in terms of priorities, but we are, you know, if it's not in the report, it's based on that's limited to the budget that we currently have. 20 mile an hour speed limits, the policy is available and publicised on the website in relation to how we determine those, and there are a number of factors in which we have given scores in relation to how those schemes are prioritised. And the Southern Relief Road, there's an update and a link to the department's publications on that project. As you're aware, the statutory consultation period and a lot of the direction orders, the vesting orders, were all published in January of this year. And we're hopeful that that will continue on the timeline that's identified within the report.
Thank you, Cindy. And again, I would like to reiterate, can we keep these the wider strategic questions, not for issues that should have been addressed at the DFI clinics? So that note, Councillor Truesdale.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Cindy. You have a great team there. They're excellent communicators, very professional. And I always enjoy their expertise and knowledge. It's very much appreciated. I have a question on street works by utility companies, and I wanted to know, has any movement been made from the Audit Office December 24 recommendation that DFI consider extending the warranty period from 2 years to possibly what Scotland are looking at, which is 6? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Truesdale.
Thank you for that question. Yes, the department is currently working through a number of the recommendations within the audit report, including the extension of the warranty period and the inspections that we currently carry out. And hopefully a lot of those actions will be closed out and reported on in the follow-up report from the audit office. So I believe that there's a further update due within the next quarter. So we'll report back on that.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? No, that's great. I'd like to thank DFI for coming along this evening. I'd like to say, take home, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.